Good morning. I am so glad my younger brother is in the ministry, and through your leadership, I was able to contact. Keith was looking for work, for ministry, and then asked him, well, the specific grace, it's looking for someone, so you know, and he's willing and to come out and check it out, and Lord willing, and then things worked out. I'm glad he's here, and that means I myself and my family able to see him and CC more often, and during special occasion like Thanksgiving, and you know, he cooks an amazing turducken. You guys know what that means? Turducken? It's a chicken stuffed in a duck, and then the chicken and duck stuffed in a turkey. And he makes an amazing turducken. So maybe one day you will get a chance to, he's an amazing cook. I just want to encourage you, this community has a church. He's very gifted guy, musically, worship, and he loves to cook. So it shows that in our sizes, right? Yes, I know your church will be blessed having him here, and you'll learn a lot from him. My wife, Frida, and then my two children, Jamie and Jonah, they're here. And they're just very supportive of my ministry, and glad they sometimes I go to different places to preach, and I'm dragging them. They're not too sick of me doing that, so I thank God for that. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, thank you for this wonderful day given us, that we can come and worship you as a community, as with each other. And we thank you, the gift of each other, that we can come and able to worship you in such a wonderful way. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you will continue to speak to us. And this morning's message from Romans chapter 12, it's a very important message that Paul wrote to the churches of Romans. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to benefit from this and learn much from this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last year, Frida, my wife, and I went to Israel for a tour. And it's a wonderful blessing for us to be there with all our kids, just to get to know and walk in the Holy Land. So we are assigned to a group. There's many buses out there, right? Tour groups out there. And we're assigned to a group called the Green Bus. The Green Bus. How appropriate. I'm from Saskatchewan. My rider, Saskatchewan Rough Rider, we're at the Green. We're green. Yesterday we got clobbered by BC Lions. we're in this Green Bus, and in this Green Bus, basically we travel together, we eat together, we go to a hotel, and we just visit tour together. And this hold for 3 weeks while we're there. And so we got to know each other. This small community, it's like a church to us. You know, we go through, you know, different walks in life, and from different walks in life, and here we are, you know, stranger to each other. But and as we got to know each other, we got to know each other really well. And I noticed that there was a young man. His name is Dalton. And later on, I found that he's 19 years old. He was traveling with his parents, his mom, that is. There's the two of them. So, you know, he's a typical late teenager with an iPod in his ear, and listening to music all the time, and on his own, mind his own business kind of thing. And during the mealtime, he would sit with his mom or even by himself. So it was that kind of thing, right? So I noticed him. So I decide, okay, you know what? I just decide to approach them. So I approached him and I said, hey, you know, how's it going? The small chat, you know, how's it going? Where you're from? Things like that, right? So, and what's your name? So he would, the small chat, you know, And to my surprise, he really opened up from a small chat to, he's starting to reveal himself to me. He was starting to tell me about his struggles, his life, you know. It's just like he found an opportunity to throw all his burden upon. He found me. Then he just threw things at me. So, I didn't mind. I was listening and just trying to encourage him with whatever he was telling me. As days went by, and I talked to him, I joked around with him, and I start to deduce him to everybody else that I have talked to, right? So, hey, Dalton, meet, Mackenzie, and so on and so forth. And then next thing you know, he's no longer sitting by himself. The meantime, he's starting to mingle with everybody else now. You see him less with his earphones on his ears. It's funny. And I start to see him change as we go along. You know, at the time he was sharing with me, one of the things he shared with me is, I'm trying to decide what to do in with my life. One is a major question, as a 19-year-old, right? What I don't know what I'm gonna do with my life. Share with him, talk to him, and he's starting to grow in God, And I see him change so much that he ended up baptizing in the River of Jordan. Pretty cool, huh? And along with his mother. And at the end of the trip, we saying goodbyes, hugs and whatever, right? Trading emails and information. A mom came up to me and gave me a big, huge hug. They're from Texas, so they have this accent. So, thank you, Jim, for helping my son. I goes, honestly, I didn't do anything. I just befriended him. I just approached him. Hey, Boaz, I'm Jim, That's all I did. What's up, all I had to do is, hey, Boaz, I play the drum too. You're awesome with that, How do you do that? Simple. All I do is, God changed him. All I did, I didn't preach to him. I didn't counsel him. I just offered my listening ears and offered myself to him. Really, that's all I took. What went on here? He opened up, little did he know, he opened up to me, but little did he know, he's actually opening up to God. You see, when he opened up to me, he opened up himself to God. He began to change, and as he began to change, God started to affirm him. Thus, this is spiritual transformation. See, that is spiritual. It's not that he's, I want to find out what the God's will in my life or the purpose of my life. Start flipping through the pages of the Bible and goes, where is it? What is it? No. He interacted. He opened up him to people. And it was, and my wife and I, we were like, wow, it's so awesome to see Dalton change so much. It's right before our eyes. It's like, wow. We thank God for that. That changed us. It makes me want to be so grateful to God. It makes me want to worship. Because, Lord, thank you very much. And it makes so much sense when Jesus said, to the least you have done it unto my brethren, you have done it unto me. You see? When Jesus said, and he continues to say, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, what? You fed me. And then you kind of go, when did I feed you, Jesus? What Jesus is trying to say is that when you open up to one another, you also open it up to me. See, when I approach with Dalton with a listening ear, he's what? To him, when he opened up, when we start opening up to each other, we open up to God. There's a sense of mystery in that picture, right? But this is how God works. This is how spirituality takes place. I am so glad our worship leader goes, before we start, let's get up and shake each other's hand. Where are you? Where's our worship? Oh, she took off. Okay. You know what? You know what? It opened up a different dynamics of this congregation. I'm telling you right now. You know, we come in here from different backgrounds, from different burdens or situations and different families. You come here, and guess what? Our mind is pretty mindless, or who knows what? This might be in our hearts. But when she said, well, let's just, then we say, call to worship, right? What is that all about? It's gathering our thoughts together here. It's gathering our thoughts together and gathering our focus on who? On God. Right? And the thing is, I'll tell you when we start to change. It's when we get up and start greeting one another. That's the dynamic changes. I've been to so many conferences that, or even been to so many worship congregation that, you know what, after two songs into the worship, no one really into it. No one is really worshiping. Until we go, you know what, we got to do something about this. You know, and one of the things I would like to do is, as I'm leading worship, is that I like to observe the congregation and where they're at. Just looking at it through their eyes, and you know what they're going through, what they're facing. Goes, you know what? And then they just kind of gather their thoughts together and bring their thoughts to God. And after that, you know, how about just give one another a little hug? Give one a handshake. Greet one another. It's funny, every time when the congregation go through that little process of interaction, the whole dynamic of worship changes. It's funny. There's a sense of mystery in that. You know what? This is how God works. To the least you have done unto my brethren, you have done it unto me. Theology is practiced within community. So our spiritual growth is within our community. So we need each other to grow, in other words. Not too long ago, my son went to a birthday party, and I got permission from him to talk about that he's here. And Jonah, his name is Jonah, he loves playing with his friend. He loves his friends. And anyway, so he was, we got invited too, so it was a family kind of thing. So we were at this beautiful house, and they have beautiful backyard. And so we had a barbecue, and it was a birthday party. So during dinner time, Jonah would, everybody getting their food and all of that. And then I kind of noticed that Jonah was sitting inside, was everybody, all his friends was having dinner outside, you know, patio, chairs, da da da. And then they were talking and then laughing. And I look at Jonah. He's inside the kitchen, sitting inside by himself in a kitchen table. So this picture is kind of wrong here. Something wrong with this picture. So I approached them. Hey, Jonah, how come you're sitting out here? Why aren't you out there with your friends? He goes, he has some reason, right? And then I just like to quickly eat here, and then I could just off whatever, right? Why don't you go out there with your friends? You know, and after a little small chat, he goes, Dad, can we go home now? You know, there's something in his mind, right? And then he goes, oh, okay. I don't want to press too much. So I go, hey, you know what? You know, really, I try to convince him that, after your dinner, just sit here, finish your dinner, and I want you to go out there and enjoy your friend's birthday party, right? So, reluctantly, with much convincing, so he went out there. And once he's out there, he started to play football, tags, and whatever game, they're just running around all over the house, and then this joy, his joy seems to came back. You know, he's laughing, he's really enjoying himself. And then And then on the way home, I asked him, Jonah, well, did you like your your friend's birthday party? He goes, you know what he said? Yes, Dad, it was the best birthday party ever. You know, and I don't get, what is, you know, the picture here is that we are like that too at church. We are like that too. You know, we have a lot of, in my mind, we have fine excuse not to participate. You know, we might be sitting on our own by ourselves. You know, we walk in. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm just going to sit by myself, enjoy my worship. Let me tell you this. You can't enjoy your worship fully. I'll tell you right now. You might as well stay at home and sing to yourself in a washroom or whatever. Seriously. When we come together and congregate as a community, as a church, the whole point is I need that person next to me. In front of me, behind me. And God wants us to be together, to eat together, to fellowship together. Acts chapter 2, it talks about that, the ideal church that we all wanted. You know, it's about togetherness. The second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. So that togetherness is very important. So don't sit alone. You know, when you come into when you're walking through those doors, find someone to sit with, because that is important for your worship, for your spirituality. See, when Jonah started to connect, he connects. His spirit went up, emotionally went up. He's charged. He enjoyed himself. Let me tell you, if you don't participate in this worship, get the full interact with people, you will not get much out of this. Sooner or later, you're going to leave this church. So when I don't believe it, when people tell me, I just want to go into this large church and be lost in that congregation, and I just want to walk in, have worship time, and go. I don't know about that one, because that is not worship to me. Sooner or later, you're going to be bored of that church because you're not actively participating. You're not involved. Romans chapter 12 speaks, I believe, directly at this. If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We're going to start from there. This is a beautiful chapter Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul wrote. I know there's a Paul in here. The Apostle Paul wrote. It speaks to about relationship with God. It's practiced in community. Therefore, verse 1, I urge you, brother, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform to any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, according with the measure of faith God has given you. If you look at this picture here, it doesn't say, give an instruction to a person solely sitting in and out and just meditate to God. This is, the living sacrifice is practiced in the community. It's talk about you, how you worship in community. See, a lot of times when we think about worship, we think that we come together, we have singing, we have reading the scripture, we got called to worship, and then we got, of course, the preaching from the pulpit, and then we got the benediction and announcement. See, those are very important items in the worship, but not the most important things. There's a lot of people can walk into a worship service and get nothing out of it after walking out. To me, it's a waste of time, really. So Paul here is talking about relationship with God and other is the most important thing here. Not the different aspect of worship. Those are important, but not the most important. But more important is how we effectively reach out and connect with people to God. And this is a sense of mystery we have to understand, and we need to connect. The Paul is exhorting that our spiritual transformation is in the life of community. Our act of worship lies how we offer ourselves to God in the community. That's what it's saying here in the first three verses. So, how do we connect with the community then? Let's look at Paul, and Paul continues. So, what are we to do? Verse 4, just as each one of us has one body and many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many formed one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's in contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. A theologian once wrote, Christ did not build the community to serve the people, but the people serve the community. Sometimes it contradicts how we think. You know, a lot of times we think the church needs to serve us. But in reality, we act differently. In my mind, we think that we should serve the church. But in reality, we think and we act as if the church should serve us. Now that I'm here, entertain me. Now that I'm here, teach me. Now that my family's here, watch over my kids. Have some program for my kids. See, that's the mentality that we need to set aside, because those are the wrong way of approaching the church. When we come to the church, it's really how John F. Kennedy would say, how can I serve the church? How can our family serve the church? How can we serve the church? It has a return. We benefit from each other. So what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying, you have gifts, get involved. I give to you precious gift. I give you gift of leadership. I have given you gift of diligence. I give giving you gift of encouragement, of teaching, of prophesying. Use it or lose it. And a lot of us don't even know what our gifts are. You know why? I'll tell you, because you're not serving. You're not giving. You're not connecting with the community. You can't know yourself unless you get involve yourself within the community. How do I know I could teach unless I teach? How do I know I have the gift of sympathy or empathy or to give encouragement unless I see the need of others and I give encouragement? I can't unless I'm involved. I'm connecting with the community. So Paul saying here is that this is how you get involved. This is how you get involved with the church. This is how you connect. And guess what? This is how you worship me, God. And this is how you live in some way, as Paul puts it, living sacrifice. No living sacrifice, living at home, like being at home, doing nothing. How do we approach the community? Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. How do we serve? How do we connect with your gifts? Offer your gifts. Serve with your gifts with love. Devote one another. Honor one another. Protect your spirituality. Share with those who are in need. Practice hospitality. It's pretty basic. This is pretty common sense. And if we go to church and all we do is complain and whine, I don't have to tell you what you're doing. You're not only ruining your spirituality, you're also ruining someone else's spirituality. Worse, you're ruining the church spirituality. So be careful, my friends. When you do come into the doors, make sure you have the right attitude. Because this is how Satan, he just snuffed out the spirituality of yourself, of your community, of the people you're talking to. And I'm sure you don't want to do that. So Paul even goes further. It says, protect your spirituality by what? Love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low positions. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone with evil with evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friend, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, said the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coal on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So my friends, Apostle Paul, the whole chapter, it talks about how we need to be within a community. Very simple instruction to us and teach us how to live. To live out the first two verses that he mentioned in view of God's mercy. So be humble. Come in with that attitude of humility, selfless attitude, no bragging of what you know, whether you know more or who cares. Do not talk down on anyone. Do not revenge. Do not treat people you don't like with respect, and love them, embrace them, and honor them. And this is how we are instructed to live, if we're ever going to live with a pure heart, to live with sacrificial, offering our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is how we live. It's all connect. It's all together. You come into this church, the spirituality begins when we start to give ourselves to other. All right? Not come in here and think that, tell people to shut up because I got to concentrate and be still, right? Yeah, there's time for that. But this is a church. This is a worship. We come together. Everybody's around. We want everybody here. And when we start to connect and start to worship, guess what? Man, The Bible already taught us that when two or three are gathered, there I will be there also, right? There's a profound wisdom in that. And that's what Paul is talking about. There's a prayer that I took out from the internet. It's called I Ask. And I want to conclude with this. I believe really captivate what I want to preach here. And here it is. I ask. I ask God to take away my pain. And God said no. It is not for me to take away, but for you to give up. I ask God to make my handicapped child whole. God said no. Her spirit was whole. Her body was only temporal. I ask God to grant me patience. God said no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It isn't granted. It is earned. I ask God to give me happiness. God said no. I give you blessing. Happiness, it's up to you. I ask God to spare me pain. God said no. Suffering draws you apart from the world or worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I ask God to make my spirit grow. God said no. You must grow on your own, but I will prune you to make you faithful. I ask God for all things that I might enjoy life. God said no. I will give you life that you may enjoy all things. I ask God to help me love others as much as He loves me. And God said, finally, you have the idea. Capturing spiritual transformation, it's in our community, my friends. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word to us this morning from Romans chapter 12. Father God, we thank you for the gift of life in your Son, Jesus Christ. That we all could say we have tasted your kingdom. We have tasted the mercy and your grace. And Father God, teach us how to live. Teach us how to love one another. Teach us how to worship with one another. Teach us how to embrace each other. And when we come to this church, help us, Lord, to love and respect each other, our differences, our opinions, because they are all important. Help us not to judge or criticize or whine. Help us with a humble, and to have a gracious heart, to have an understanding, the wisdom, that when we come, we can embrace each other. Forgive us, Lord, of all the bitterness that we had had toward each other. And we realize that things like this will tear the church apart. So we ask, Lord, for your forgiveness, and forgive us as a corporately and personally. So God, I pray that you would take hold of this community, this church of Pacific Grace, and that's special, and you have died for this community. And we pray, Lord, that you would protect it, and that you raise and cause this community to continue to grow. And empower this community to reach out to fulfill its purpose. So, Father, we ask your Spirit will continue to flow and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray.